Hello, this is Detective David Love. Welcome to sorry, start over.
Okay.
Oh, talk about going down the rabbit hole.
Okay.
Right, I guess we just start right from here. Hello, welcome to Universal. I can't do this.
Shall I do it, darling? I'll do it.
Yeah, why don't you start? I just walked in from the U.S. consulate from the city. I'm tired. God,
Okay, you know
what a
what?
life.
I'll introduce them. Okay,
Thank you
starting
very
in
much.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Hello, this is Universal Soul Love. This is Dr. Lana Love.
This is Detective David Love. Welcome to our show. We're
Today,
very
we're
pleased to
very
have.
fortunate and very happy to have Deidre Haide and William Arndt with us on the show.
Lana, can you start again? It's actually Deidre and William.
Yeah, that's okay.
Did I not
Deirdre.
thought? Deidre.
Like a
Yes.
deer.
Deidre?
Deer, like a deer in the woods, a deer.
Oh.
And then you just add
Deirdre.
Deirdre. Thank you.
Is that right?
That's right.
Deidre. Okay. Starting again.
Okay.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Hello, this is Universal Soul Love. This is Dr. Lana Love.
This is Detective David Love. Welcome to our show.
Today we're very fortunate and very excited to have Deidre Haide and William Arndt with us on the show. William Arndt, of course, was the producer of What the Bleep Do We Know? And Deidre Haide is his wife, who has just written a book, the not-so-little book of surprises.
And we're looking forward to some great surprises today on our show.
Absolutely. I must say, I've been such a fan of What the Bleep Do We Know? I saw it when it came out, and I must say, literally had an effect on my life. I've always been sort of spiritual and also quite interested in quantum physics, but the way in which you presented this information about consciousness and quantum physics in the film was just such a wonderful way of presenting things to the public and just really had an effect on me. Very big fan. And Deidre, your new book, The Not So Little Book of Surprises, I believe is also very much to do with consciousness and quantum physics. It's a beautiful, beautiful coffee table book. Can you tell us what was the inspiration for creating this book?
Well, this book was made from over 10 years of my mystical visionings, writings, conversing with angels, God, many spiritual beings that would come to me. And then I've always had a passion for the spiritual world and have studied it my whole life. And so I began about 10 years ago really sharing that with people at other people's request. And then Will came in and he decided last year that it would be a wonderful idea to have a book of my work. And he went in and he pulled out specific quotes that he felt were really needed for today, that he really wanted to be in the world. And he put it together with these beautiful photographs of the award-winning photographer Andre Balog. And he put it together like it's like a movie. It really is. The book is an hour and a half read if you were to read the whole movie. And it's a journey. And I'm just very grateful that he did this with his magical way.
I'm grateful as well.
It's
The imagery
such a
is
good idea to
wonderful.
put this into a book.
What was that? There was everyone talking at once.
It's such a great idea to put this into a book form. I mean, the photos and the quotes are really so deep and so beautiful.
Well, thank you. I mean, that was the idea. And it is kind of interesting. It was funny. We just had a couple boxes developed or delivered today for promotional purposes. And the UPS driver, UPS driver, he said, "Whoa, you're getting a lot of books." And I said, "Yeah." I said, "We're kind of thinking that people are tired of sitting at their computer all day, and this whole thing about electronic books and going back and watching YouTube for the rest of the night, there's nothing like sitting down with the great book. And he just laughed. He said, going back to old school. I said, yeah, because I think part of the reason to do this is in the fast pace, the modern, the iPhone, the iPad world we live in, just to go off in a corner with a book and sit down quietly without that internet connection to the rest of the world is a really, really wonderful way to go on a little mini retreat. And the way that the quotes that I picked, a lot of them you can read them in less than a minute. I mean, so it's something you just kind of read, you have a cup of tea, it's quiet, you look outside, maybe it's snowing, maybe it's raining, and you just enjoy it. So that's kind of why we went retro on this.
I love that idea, and I love real books because my eyes get glazed over from looking at the computer screen all day, so I'm very happy you decided to do that.
Yep, going
back. I love how you talk about it as a little retreat. That's a beautiful way to describe books, and I know that generally books that I love, it's really good to read them and reread them and sometimes even open them on a particular page. It's certainly something we can't do with the internet.
No, and in fact, one of the things we may do a little down the line is come up with this app called the Little Oracle of Surprises. And people have already started taking the book, and it's one of those things you just open it to a page, and you say, well, okay, I'm just going to hang with that thought for the day. And I heard about that, and I was like, well, we could sort of like, it's like an updated 21st century I Ching in that, you know, you open it up or you say, this is my quote for the day, and this is kind of what I'm going to walk around thinking about. And, of course, the way consciousness and energy works, you walk around thinking about it, there's a good chance the universe is going to serve up an example of what you're thinking about.
That's so true. I'm wondering whether you could perhaps share with our listeners perhaps some of your favorite quotes and images from the book.
Well, sure, I'd be happy to. I'm going to whip out a copy here, and there's the one, the one with the duck.
Oh, okay.
Not Splat, the...
And while you're doing that, I guess I'd like to just also tell our listeners, the two of you, you're a marriage of the most amazing talents. William, I believe that you started off your professional career as a research laser physicist, and then you were in, worked in optics simulation, and then you have been interested in quantum physics. And Deidre, I believe that you're a modern-day mystic and a poet. And what an amazing combination of talents. You really are a power partnership of quantum physics and consciousness, aren't you?
Our team.
And mysticism.
Yeah, we have it pretty well covered. I also, after I did my laser physics, I was a software writer. I wrote software and eventually created a couple software companies and sold them out. So I also did the entrepreneur and the computer stuff and all that, which is, I think, probably why at this point I'm thinking old school go retro. So.
Yes.
Can I just interject here for a minute? I'm reading the book now, and I just want to read a quote. It says, "We are here as mystics. If you are here, you are a mystic. You are born a mystic, and you will die a mystic. And there's no way you're going to get out of it." And I love the imagery. This is fantastic because I call myself a mystic, which is really for me just a title. It's just a title for my belief systems, but I can identify with that. And it's really a calling. So I had to point that out.
Well, I'm so glad that you did because that's really all of our favorite quotes. And Will decided to put it into the front of the book. And, I said that I've been saying that over and over for so many years in the people I meet, the people I talk to, because that place in us that is the mystery, the mystical, the place that moves into more of the supernatural, we all have a longing to be there. I mean, look at the movies today, Star Trek, Star Wars, all the fantasy books. It's because we've gotten so dry and just so into the left brain that we've lost a part of ourselves that's the magical, the mystical, the extraordinary wonder of life. And I truly believe everyone has that. And some people, it's buried more, and some people, it's more alive. And I want to encourage that in everyone to just look and find that place where something happened that was just a little different or a little odd or a little out of the ordinary, and pay attention to it, because that's a message. That's a message to grow into the wonder of yourself.
That's really beautiful, everything you just said. Just amazing.
That is so true, yeah. Thank you.
I spent 25 years as an investigator in the U.S. court system, and so I'm very much evidence-based. And my life became much more magical once I started looking into the mysteries and looking for answers and became a seeker. I understand what you're saying. It's so true. You know, you have to find your inner power and really look within yourself, and then you start to, your mind, your consciousness really starts to expand that way, and you start to see beyond what's in front of you, I guess. So thank you for that.
Oh, you're so welcome. And what a beautiful example you are to go from being an investigator into the spiritual, because truthfully, before it seemed you were investigating hard facts. But in the spiritual world, as we encounter the unknown, we have to be an investigator. You have to have a curiosity, and you have to probe at it. You have to dig a little deeper. As a matter of fact, there's one quote in the book where I say just that. I say, you as a mystic, you have to look deeper than the average Joe. To have a satisfying experience of being human, we're here to have the human experience, but to have that deeply satisfying experience, and to really understand as much as we can understand the understandable, but to be in that inner peace, we must probe, we must go deeper. And it sounds like you did that. So thank you.
I certainly did. I was a Rosicrucian for many years and a spiritualist. And, you know, there were many professionals in my lodge. There was lawyers, there were police officers, diplomats, astrophysicists, and it was a secret order simply because these professionals didn't want to be ridiculed and lose their jobs or be persecuted as they have throughout history. So we would have the lodge and have our sort of secret, quote unquote, secret society, so that we could share our ideas without being discredited in the world and in our professions and careers. So. But things are changing.
Yeah, things
luckily.
Are changing. Thank goodness.
Yeah. Here's my favorite things are changing story. About 3 weeks ago, I was watching Sunday Night Football. Now that's pretty much as standard American as you can get. And the guy ran the ball, and he was going for a first down, and he got tackled. And Al Michaels, the one announcer, goes, "Well, I think he's 4 inches short." So. They bring out the chains, they do the whole thing, and he's 4 inches short. And the other, Chris Collinsworth, the other announcer, says, "Well, Al, that was pretty good, 4 inches short." And Al goes, "I was channeling my inner Paul McGuire." Well, the fact that the NFL announcer is talking about channeling his inner something, I heard that and I said, "Oh, my God, things have changed." Because... Well, 10 years ago when I made What the Bleep, part of the reason I did that was, like you said, we all got ridiculed for our spiritual paths. And my idea was, let's put it in the verbiage of science, and then people won't think we're crazy like they do. And cut to 12 years later, here we are, and Al Michaels on NFL Sunday Night Football saying he's channeling his inner knowingness. I mean, things have changed. So, and I'm very, that's one of the things that I'm very hopeful about, and that which kind of brings me to one of the things in the book. The book is very hopeful. And I think right now, given the past week's surprising occurrences, that really to have the hope, like sort of no matter how you went during the election, it's very chaotic. And the idea that there's a hopefulness in the book that says, yeah, we're going to make it. We know how to make it. Here's what we need to do to make the world a better place. And it's done in really pretty subtle ways. It doesn't hit you over the head with some evangelical, you know, let's go out and march and, you know, march to everyone and force them to love everyone. You know, it's not like that, but it's a hopefulness. So times are changing.
Absolutely. And, you know, I actually wonder whether the film did have an effect on humanity. So many people would have seen it. I would not be surprised if it didn't, because, you know, introducing ideas like this into the mainstream has been my vision. I would love to see this introduced into school, you know, the studies of consciousness and mysticism. That would be wonderful. Looking through the book at the moment, I'd like to say how wonderfully dense it is in terms of ideas and contrast. It's sort of like even just one page takes some time, so you just want to read it again and again. There's so many ideas and so many amazing images. And I just wanted to perhaps read out my favorite page. It's for our listeners. It's got beautiful photographs of water splashing in it looks like a crown, you know, the water is just captured as a crown-like, I guess, splash, just in the moment of it splashing. And then it's I'll just read it out perhaps. Let's just say you really, really hurt somebody, made them miserable for a long time, and oh man, you messed up. If you can redeem that part of yourself, if you can repair, if you can make amends and heal that, even if the person doesn't forgive you, but if you do your part, you have redeemed that piece of brokenness in the mind of God and creation. And it may be that you were given that task to do. You went in and got your butt kicked. Good thing. That means on the journey, it's time for you to go in another direction. And if you go in another direction and you can redeem, clean up your past, make, repair, heal, you will lift up a piece of that breakage. You have redeemed it. You have turned it into light, darkness serving light. Because in any place of darkness, you can make lemonade out of lemons. That is redemption. And through redemption, you receive salvation. How beautiful is that? That is just
really
an amazing, beautiful, educational piece for people to read and reread, and very much, you know, transmutation, how to turn darkness into light. It's beautiful. It's very much what David and I are about.
Restoration is a word I like to use for that.
Or even alchemy.
It is.
And also, hello?
Yes, it is an alchemy. Well, that's really what I was talking about here, was the sacred alchemy. Really, our purpose on our journey is to become the alchemist, to be able to shift negativities into a positive, the way a new plant grows out of dirt. And we have water, and we need sunshine, and it's the same thing. We have our truths, our virtues, our ethics, our intentions, our desires. And when we come with these ingredients, magic really can happen. I've seen it over and over. The first thing is to believe that magic can happen. A relationship can turn around. People who are at war can find peace. I've seen it. I've experienced it in my own life. So thank you for reading that. Thank you so much.
And I'm wondering whether you can share a little about the science of surprise, because I believe that's also quite comes out in the book, the magic and also surprise. How does surprise physiologically, psychologically, and spiritually change us?
Well, I'll start with physically. When there's a surprise, the whole human, you know, our human bodies, endocrine system are all wired to do something about a surprise. Now, the obvious thing is the fight or flight type syndrome is the simplest thing, that when there's a surprise, suddenly there's a loud noise next to you. I mean, it could be a lion that's looking for dinner, and you're looking like dinner. So immediately, the body will do a whole bunch. Your senses, you know, tune in. You become hypervigilant. Time actually changes. People will talk about they're in a car crash, and suddenly everything is in super slow motion. There's a whole thing that goes on, and some of that is just the adrenaline, but also it affects the brain in a significant way. And the one thing I learned in doing my research for Bleep is the neuroplasticity of the brain goes off the charts. And neuroplasticity is the ability or the way that the brain can rewire itself. It becomes plastic, it's not fixed. And so it can rewire itself very quickly after a surprise because the brain is flooded with the chemicals of neuroplasticity. So when you're thinking about the spiritual path and transformation and changing and all that, that's the open door we want to go through, is because that in those moments of clarity, those moments in thought, those moments when your world stops, that's the part that you can basically shift, rewire your brain, and make a change. I mean, other examples of that, I say that in the foreword, is, you know, the little old grandma who sees the car fall on top of their grandchild, and they go over and with one hand pick up the car. I mean, there's been a lot of instances of that. And that's what a surprise could do. There's that much power in that moment. So when I came up with the idea of calling it the Little Book of Surprises, it was because... partially because a lot of these quotes, they're surprising. I mean, just the way that Deirdre uses language and the way she turns it, it's really a surprise. And the surprise is the open doorway. So that's the reason to do the surprise. It's not just to have a jack-in-the-box, oh boy. It's to really transform. So that's the basis for the book.
Wow, that's amazing. That's really interesting, really interesting. And I must say, in my days as a, because I have a background as a doctor, I'm a psychiatrist, naturally as a psychiatrist, drawn to the brain consciousness as being, you know, the most important organ, although we know now that consciousness may well not reside in the brain itself, and the brain is more like a transmitter. But we were certainly told that neuroplasticity is very limited. And now we know that, in fact, it's not as limited as we had thought, and that there's a lot of parts of the brain that can actually regrow. So the concept of neuroplasticity is amazing, and it's a very, very, I guess, interesting how the concept of magic, surprise, and perhaps a childhood attitude towards the world can actually change us.
That's actually a good point, because when you think about a child, a child is surprised all the time in that, you know, this world is so new and so different, so something is always going on that's like, oh, look at that, oh, look at that, and kids are alive. But often, as we get older, I mean, this is true for myself, you sort of get in your rut, you get in your habits, you get in your groove, and then really there's nothing surprising anymore. So you kind of go to sleep, and on this path of transformation you need to continually wake up in new and different ways, so hence the surprise.
Here's a surprise. I'm going to jump in for a minute here and have my fun. Lonnie, you mentioned the idea of consciousness residing in the brain. And now I'm going to get a little bit into the mysticism and metaphysics and go a little bit deeper down the rabbit hole. And I want to pose the question, what is consciousness? And, you know, for me, I think consciousness doesn't just reside in the mind or the heart or in the body. Consciousness is everywhere. And I have the idea, I subscribe to the idea of panpsychism, which is all things have consciousness, even in inanimate objects. In fact, we're like our personalities and everything we are is a drop of consciousness within the ocean of consciousness, within the universal consciousness itself. But these are just theories. And that's just mine.
they're not really theories to my dear wife, and she'll tell you why.
Thank you.
How do you like that for a setup, honey?
That's accurate. That's
I know,
good.
That's why I did it.
So my experience of this reality is being in a state of presence, and I am all things. And all things are me, and there's no separation. It's a paradox. I'm all things, and I'm aware that my body is a point of projection. I like to say to people, I'm a simulation. I'm beamed in, but I'm beamed in from everywhere, outside and within. It's very, very difficult to describe an experience of being in the consciousness of all that is. That's why I write poetry. That's why I write in metaphor, to try to just touch and try to explain that sensual experience of union with all things. People ask all the time, you know, where is consciousness? You know, the scientists trying to grab it. And, you know, I giggle because I'm like, well, they're just looking in the wrong universe.
yeah, maybe try the hidden universe or the invisible universe.
You know, if they just were to look in the correct universe, they would find it. So we're multidimensional beings, and we live simultaneously throughout a patterning of vibration from the vibration of pure light, pure presence before creation, all the way to the densest creation, the third dimension, and beyond. And when we begin to just take a moment to kind of let that experience, and you might be feeling it now, if you just let that experience sink into you of letting the separation fall away, it's very clear where consciousness is, but it's not in the left brain linear mind, meaning the left brain mind just can't conceive it. That's all. It's there, it just can't conceive it. And we really are all a simulation, and our beautiful bodies, our organs, our brain, this incredible package we have, gives us the ability to have experience in this world of duality. And that's the joy of being here. But we forget that sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. That's so true. I love that. Yeah. I love what you said. Yeah. Our sensory suits, our bodies, our wonderful bodies that give us the ability to experience life in all its various forms, some beautiful and some we don't like, but we get it all. And we interpret it whatever way we decide to, and it's all very much an internal experience, I think. For me, I'm reading something right now. It says, the outer world is a holographic picture of your mind, and I know exactly what you mean, because I see the world as the outer world as being a holographic matrix, sort of a virtual reality environment, and everything we experience is within the mind and how we interpret it and perceive it. So it's nice that we have that kind of power, to know that we have that kind of power to determine reality, the nature of reality for ourselves.
Absolutely. And that's the key, really, to transforming our world, is that everybody understands that you have power in you. It doesn't matter what your circumstance may look like now.
Mm.
You have a power to shift it.
That's right. Thank you.
Some places that we're in, we think this is impossible to shift. But But I'm saying it's not. I have seen, I've lived through it. It's not impossible. Really.
Same here, and I'm so glad you're saying this. Thank you for that.
Deidre and William, I think that's one of the most profound and most important messages of the book and generally about spirituality, the fact that we can actually turn something that's dark into light and the fact that we actually have the power to do that, the realization that power of change resides within us, within our spirit.
And in fact, it's not even about dark and light either. It's beyond that. That's just duality. That's just our interpretation. So
that is very true. That's very true. Mm-hmm. And I think in the book there is a very interesting two pages, one which is white and the other is black, about how the darkness allows the lightness to come out and vice versa. So, you know, once again, the paradox, it's both dualistic and non-dualistic. Very, very true. The images are just amazing. Can I just ask you, you're both authors of the book, is that right? Or how is it that, what was the process of creating this book? And also, I believe you have a photographer that was involved as well.
Well, the way it happened was, Deirdre had been writing and teaching for years and had a vast amount of stuff. You know, I got this notion of she's writing a longer work, more of a novel, but wanted to get something out there. And so then I got the notion of just collecting some quotes and associating a picture with it. And once I got that notion, I thought about it for about a day, and then I came up with the whole concept of the Little Book of Surprises. And then it turns out Deirdre has associate, a friend that she's worked with for years, Endre Balog. And Endre is an award-winning photographer. And he's also an amazing concert violinist. He was soloing with the LA Philharmonic at the age of 9. He was one of these child prodigies. So he's very much an artist, very much a musician. And he's such an artist that he has no idea what to do with his photographs. He just takes them. So he has a website of 3,000 pictures that probably most people, they've never seen the light of day. So there I was with 10 years' worth of Deirdre's teachings and poetry and 3,000 photos of Endre's, and I'm like, okay, it's showtime. So I just went in and started pulling quotes. And when you're a documentary filmmaker, you learn, you are always going through transcripts and pulling out quotes. And I did that for Bleep and other things. So I have the skill now to go through things fairly quickly, and I can just land on the quotes that I like. And, of course, the ones that I picked generally were either sassy, surprising, or funny. And I tend to do that. If you know from What the Bleep, I like things to be humorous. I like it to be fun. I like it to be entertaining. So I pulled those and then started associating pictures with it. And some of the people, Endre would suggest some, a few other people, Jill Hawkins, who did the graphic layout, which is stunning in the book, she would suggest some to the big person that was sort of kept out of it at this phase was Deirdre, because I knew that if Deirdre would get in there, she would want to start tweaking everything. So I said she's not allowed to look at the book until it's done. The big joke is...
You mean it would be a surprise to her?
It was a surprise to her. She kept going, oh my God, we can't say this. We can't put this out there. It makes me sound I'm like, yeah, I know. It makes you sound great. We're putting it in. So we had the agreement up front that, you know, to do that. So I put the whole book together in 3 months. Was because it was just the right time. The materials were there. The light of the good Lord was shining upon the project. So when you add it all up, it just happened. Then it was finally done, more or less showed it to Deirdre, and she's like, whoa, if I had done it, all the quotes would be about the beauties of light and angels and everything would be in the color of pink. So I definitely...
You added a bit of black and brown to it.
right. Well, I think just to jump in here. I mean, they're all my quotes. I wrote it all.
She said it.
But my feeling was that because it's so a blunt and in your face, which is the way I am and the way I teach and I work with people, I'm really, you know, I just kind of say it the way it is. But when I read many spiritual books, they're a little softer. They're kind of, you know, a little cozier. And I love soft. I love cozy. So I guess I would have to admit that I was a little nervous about putting out things that were so kind of in your face. But I'm really, really glad that Will did that, and I'm very proud of it and very happy. And we've been getting excellent response. So I guess the world is ready for that.
You two work really well together, and I'm really enjoying this interview. I think some of the most valuable people in our global society are the people who entertain us and make us laugh, and you two are great public speakers. And then we're just enjoying this interview. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you. Well, we enjoy being
here. It's very, very stimulating. And just, you know, looking through the book, it does surprise you. The image is amazing, but the text, you know, takes on, you know, rather than just being horizontal, you know, you shift the angle at times. And then there's this cute little amazing image of the sky and a person walking up along the text. it's very surprising. And then I find this very interesting. It's a beautiful image of an eye, and then the surprising geometry inside the eye, very much, I guess, encapsulating God and the different universes and solar systems and a path leading to that. Really beautiful. And it says, there's a map where you can choose to go to God. You don't have to wait for, oh my God, it's happened. God actually wrote a map, a code, so that you could enter into God's joy, happiness, and bliss whenever you want to. That's amazing, a bit out of the box, quite surprising as well. Can you elaborate what you mean by the God code?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, I'm going to jump in just for a second.
Go ahead.
This is kind of, I mean, it's kind of like the book describing itself, because that's all that is true, and that's what this book is. This is like self-referential, in that this is the, you know, we put that out there in the beginning of the book, and it's like, and for the next 100 pages, we're going to start giving you the codes and the keys.
That's right. So the book, and this is what was told to me by God and the archangels, the ascended masters, and the beings of light that I've been seeing since, let's just say I can't remember not seeing them or feeling them, all the way back, very young, 2-3 years old. What they had said to me was that the way that Will, with his brilliance, picked out the gifts or the information, that he picked it out in such a way that within it are embedded codes of consciousness for awakening. And that when you sit with the book, read through the book, take a time to be quiet, go at your own pace, you may be on one page for a very long time, that it releases something in you. It's placing, I wouldn't say it's placing a code in you. What it is, it's just releasing the code that's already in you, the code of consciousness and the code of having that direct conduit with all that is, with creation, with that joy, that spontaneous joy of life. It really is in the book. And I'll tell you a little secret. Many of these things that are my perceptions and my wisdom of my life, and also they were teachings given to me by the higher realms. And some of these teachings I have studied one passage for 20 years. I don't want to scare anyone, but I have studied some of them for a lifetime and keep finding deeper meanings in them. So my hope is that you can just take this and breathe life into it with your own spirit and use the book Surprises as a catalyst to expand your own joy of life. I mean, we really are here to be in joy. That's really why we're
Absolutely.
Here.
Can you tell us, what is your website?
Yes, so my website is DeirdreHaid.com, and that's D-E-I-R-D-R-E, Haid, H-A-D-E.com. If you put
and how can people order the book? Because I imagine this book would make a most amazing gift. I don't know what age group you have a sense that people might gravitate, you know, the people would like that the book would appeal to younger or older people. My sense it would appeal to many ages, the pictures,
yeah.
the children, perhaps the text more for older people.
Whoever's intuitively drawn to
book?
It.
Yeah, well, my dream was that this was a children's book for adults and an adult's book for children. My dream was having it on the coffee table, and the kids can walk through and open it and look at the photos. Like, we have this fun little photo of the duck with the swirl, you know, the toy with the swirling head, and the toaster, and there's so many fun photographs, the ducks. And they could read something, and that will affect children deeply because they'll be supported in their mystical self. Or young people or people our age that are looking for that wonderment and looking for something to kind of augment whatever anyone's belief is. I mean, the thing about, I try to always come from a place of presence so that it's, whatever one's, let's say if you have a religion or a practice, you can directly relate it to whatever your practice is. And I'll tell you, we have this beautiful Buddhist teacher here, Dawa Tarshan, who has the Bodhi Path here in Santa Barbara. And he's just a wonderful, wonderful being. And we gave him the book, and he loved the book. And then he laughed, and he, I'm going to pull this page up. Here we go. He laughed, and he said, well, where did you get this material? And I said, well, it just came in. I don't know what to say. It just, I was born with a perspective, and this stuff just comes in, and I listen deeply, and I take it, I write it down, and I study it. So this quote, the one that you referenced a little earlier on the white page, the darkness serves the light. If you're conscious, the darkness is just darkness if you're unconscious. And he looked at me and he goes, oh, this is a Buddhist text. He says, this, you know, samskara serves the Dharma if you're conscious. Samskara is just samskara if you're unconscious. He said, word for word. it's right out of the sutras. So I had to laugh, and I was like, okay, good. That's good. All right, I appreciate that.
But that's
and
funny.
People can people order hard copies of it as well as e-copies?
Well, getting back, you want to go to, so you can either go to Amazon, just go to Amazon and order it. It's right there, the Not-So-Little Book of Surprises on Amazon. And you can also go to Book of Surprises. .com, and you can order it there. We have a really fun little flip book that Will made that has the text and embedded or videos that are really great. And that's on the website. It just says watch now or your free gift, and that's on the website. But you can order the book from the website too.
And I'm going to do one bit of shameless marketing here. I don't know if you remember Tip and Tap, the Tappet Brothers. They had the whole thing on NPR, the radio for mechanics. They used to have, now our shameless marketing. So here's my shameless marketing pitch. And it is, the book is 9x11. We went to a very, very high-end printer who prints all these Teschen art books. And it's 9x11, high quality, and we are basically giving the darn thing away for $18.95. And wow. Made five. Yeah, I know. That's what you pay for a paperback book. And we did that, and we've shown it to people, and everyone's like, well, this is a $35 book. And I'm like, yeah, I know it's a $35 book. We just happen to be selling it for 19 bucks. Don't ask me why. But you can't ask me why. And the reason is, since I asked myself why, is because we want it accessible to people. We want someone who's a sophomore in college to say, well, that's three trips to Starbucks. I can get the book. So it really is very, very affordable for everyone, and that's what we wanted. So that's my shameless marketing pitch.
William, that's actually really kind and generous, because, you know, the more that we get these ideas out, hopefully the more the consciousness of humanity is going to ascend, which is something David and I are very, very focused on, the idea of helping the majority of humanity ascend. And just imagine how our world could change if we could all have a higher level of consciousness, especially our political and military figures. But look, that's wonderful. I'm actually going to go out and order a whole 30 or 40 of them for my friends. What a wonderful Christmas present.
Yeah. I think you're right. It's a catalyst.
Was it. And we just wanted to make it so that you could have something of quality. You know, the paper is thick. The book, I mean, it's the highest quality printing that you can have, the binding. And there's something very special with quality. Like when you have a piece of artwork, the quality, the resonance. And it was really important that we didn't cut any corners, and yet we made it so that anyone could get as many as they wanted and give it as presents and have something of quality, because the spirit is quality, right?
I like that.
Absolutely. And on that note, I don't know, I think we have about 5 minutes left, but can I just read another page? I'm just so taken by the concept of redeemability and turning from darkness into light, which comes in again and again through your book, and it is so Buddhist. Myself, I've been a Buddhist practitioner for many, many years, and I know that in Buddhism, as opposed to Christianity, it is this wonderful concept that we can all achieve enlightenment, and that we are all basically pure. You just have to chip off the darkness to get to the purity. And there's a page here rather cute demonic figure. Your soul is pure. Nothing can touch it. Nothing can harm it. Even if your soul is, as they say, taken by the devil, even if you fall into a chasm of darkness, your soul remains pure. It is redeemable. That is so beautiful. I'm just wondering whether in the last few minutes, whether you'd like to comment on that.
Yes, thank you. Well, from my experience of being in oneness with all creation, I can absolutely, unemphatically say that every soul is pure, that everything is pure, that there is no amount of darkness or evil that can harm or touch the pure light that is the soul of everything. And when we really find that and believe it, it's amazing how the pain, the suffering, maybe the shame will begin to fall away, and that spark of joy will come. I believe this with every fiber of my being, because it's been my experience and I've witnessed it.
Deirdre, thank you for that, because I wouldn't be here now today still doing what I'm doing, and neither would Lana as an investigator and a psychiatrist, if we didn't have faith in the human spirit. Because I've worked with 50% of my work over the last 25 years was with criminal offenders, homeless, debtors, and I believe in redemption, and I believe in restoration, and I believe in what you're doing, and I have faith, and I have faith in humanity, and I have faith in the creator or the universal intelligence. And people come to us all the time looking for solutions to the global issues, the shift that's happening. And we have activists on our show. We have survivalists. We have, I don't like the term conspiracy theorists, but we have people, government conspiracists and all sorts of, I don't think that's the right term either. Anyhow, so I just, love everything that you both had to say in this interview, and just thank you so much for being on our show.
Well, it's been an honor and a pleasure, truly.
Yep, thank you. It's been a lot of fun, too.
Yeah, and you both are
thank
really-
you so much, Deidre and William, and really, this is like your Christmas gift to humanity, and really, it's an amazing book. I really am going to be going in and ordering a whole lot for my friends. It's so beautiful, and just so amazed that it's so affordable. It's such a beautiful act of love, I think, to put it together and to actually, you know, ask for such a small price for it. Really beautiful.
Yeah.
Wonderful talking to both of you. So inspiring.
Thank you.
It's a catalyst for deeper study of consciousness and the nature of reality and the meaning of life. It's a perfect way to dive into it. Not dive into it, but however it works for you as you
have
your psychic awakening.
Zach, well, it's just been so wonderful being here and just sharing the light. And, you know, if I could just say one last 30-second thing, and that is, you know, we're all on the journey to discovering our light. And on that journey, we go through paths of anger sometimes, or we have conspiracy theory, or we think this is person's bad, or we think if this were right, my life would be better. And that's all part of the journey. But we are all going to the same place, and that is the source, which is pure love. So it's so wonderful to be on that path with you all. So thank you.
It is indeed a path and a journey. And I'll just end with something else. God, I love this book. The path is to open up to the fact that you are a mystical being. It's time to lift the taboo of, it's woo-woo. So you're lifting the taboo of the mysticism, the woo-woo, and you are really making this accessible to so many people. So love you guys. Thank you for being on our show.
Thank you.
Lots of love.
Thank you.
All right, and that's goodbye from us from Universal Solo.